You ready?
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Bill and Rookie Podcast for 24 March 2021. And I want to talk more about referees or officiating in sports. As we touched on that story about Tim Peel, the NHL official who gets fired basically for getting caught on a hot mic talking about how he's looking to call a penalty on Nashville, assuming because he'd already called one on Detroit. You want to even things out. Can't do that. Even if you're thinking it, you can't say it. But it got me thinking there's a couple, you know, it's a lesson from someone who didn't really understand or realize that that's the way it goes in the NHL. I learned that a long time ago. And there's other things that you learn, too, by watching games, NBA games, NHL, NFL, anything, baseball, even like boxing. I learned a long time ago, at least I used to think, that, you know, when it comes to boxing, not necessarily the refereeing, but the judging of a boxing match.
Right. Long that you under the microscope.
Yeah, that you have to, if you're the champ, and somebody's trying to beat the champ, you really got to beat the champ. Otherwise, he's going to win most of the time. Mm-hmm. If you don't knock him out or just dominate him, he's going to win most of the time. In order to be the champ, you got to beat the champ, and you got to beat him pretty convincingly in order to get a judge's decision anyway in a boxing match. So I was wondering about those kinds of lessons that you learn about officiating as you're growing up watching sports. Did you learn those kinds of things, or did anything stand out where you go, okay, that's the way it is?
No, I think you just kind of somehow you grew up knowing that. The makeup call is what it was referred to, and I think it still is referred to today. I think you just somehow, somewhere along the line, that just became common knowledge, so to speak, whether it be something like the NHL, the NBA, I think is famous for makeup calls as well. You know, boxing is a little
basketball.
Yeah, boxing is a little bit different, though. That was always under the microscope. You know, with boxing, it wasn't the battle cry wasn't makeup call. It was the fix is in.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's
Well, I remember one fight in particular from my youth. I don't remember how old I was, but I was pretty young. Speaking of young, that was one of the fighters named Jimmy Young when he fought Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
And Ali was already, I mean, he was Ali. He was toward the end of his career, and he was, you know, he was already established as the greatest and all that stuff. But Jimmy Young was challenging for his title, and I thought, just watching the fight, that Young beat him. I went the distance and everything, but Ali got the decision. I'm like, well, how is that possible? He got whooped.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, well, he didn't get knocked out. You know, he didn't beat him soundly enough. And then after I learned that, then because I used to watch a lot of boxing when I was kid, mm-hmm. It was on free TV, you know,
right.
And then you see other fights, and you go, okay, I guess that is how it is.
Well, the one that kind of stands to my mind when you talk about that is one that we talked about recently with the passing of Marvelous Marvin Hagler. When you take a look at the Hagler and the Sugar Ray fight, you realize that the guy that's more popular, the guy that could maybe bring in more dollars, is going to win the fight if it's close. I mean, not only to be the man, you got to beat the man, but you got to beat him soundly.
Right, and that wasn't the case in that fight by any means, because Hagler was the champ, right?
Right.
Leonard was trying to take his title,
but it just goes to show you though that the more popular guy, because Sugar Ray was exploding onto the scene, was widely popular, and he had that million dollar smile and everything.
Yep.
You know, and that was the guy that was going to be the bread and butter for the Bob Arums of the world or the Don Kings of the world for boxing in general. That was going to be the meal ticket.
So what do you tell your kids as coaching, as a coach, about refereeing? Anything? Do you bring it up?
Well, yeah. You know, look, it's kind of funny. We do bring refereeing up, maybe not in just specifically, but we always talk about before we take the ice that there's going to be, and I learned this from Mike McCarthy listening to him, and I, you know, passing along, we always talk about how there's going to be highs and lows, adversity during the game. There's going to be things that go right, things that are going to go wrong, things that are out of our control. And a lot of that falls back on the referees, whether they call a penalty that you don't agree with or what have you, or miss offsides. You know, things are going to happen during the course of the game. And a lot of it involves the refs. It's out of your control. You're not going to change anything. You got to keep your cool. And you just got to let it go and move forward. And you talk about that, and you're dealing with 13- and 14-year-old kids, and that's right in one ear and out the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the game is going and they get called for a penalty. A 13-year-old or a 14-year-old hockey player is a 13- or 14-year-old hockey player in the penalty box is a lot like a criminal behind bars. They're innocent. They never committed the crime.
Right. Yeah, right. It's so funny. I watch basketball now. Back in the day when you got a foul called on you, you were supposed to raise your hand to the scores table. That's on me. No matter whether you agreed with it or not, you were supposed to raise your hand. You never see that anymore, and nobody's ever fouled anybody anymore.
Right.
The whistle blows. Everybody always disagrees with the call. But as an official, and I've officiated a lot of basketball games and called a lot of baseball games too, I mean, it's something you just can't like doing a basketball game. You can't. You try not to like even look at the scoreboard. To know what the score is, you know, to know who's winning or anything like that, because you're trying to just call the game as you see it.
Right.
And because I think there's some human nature involved when you see, if you were to see that one team has 12 fouls, say, or 10 fouls, and the other team has two, you'd be like, oh, wait a minute, maybe I'm missing, you know.
Right.
If you gotta try to ignore that stuff and like I said, just call it as you see it. And then, as far as baseball goes, I was taught always, and especially at umpire school, they drill it into you that you call something when you see it, no matter what the situation. If it's the bottom of the ninth of the game, of game seven of the World Series, or if it's the first inning of a spring training game, if
mm-hmm.
you see it, call it.
And I agree with that philosophy, but we always hear too much of the, you know, the referees have swallowed their whistle.
Absolutely.
Why?
And, you know, you always want the players to determine the outcome. You don't want to be the story by any means. But, you know, a foul's a foul, and a balk is a balk.
The penalty's a penalty.
Pass interference is pass interference.
Absolutely.
No matter what. What's really going to be interesting, I think, as we move forward, and especially in baseball, when they're talking about these the robot ball strike calls and everything, it's going to be interesting to see how that affects officiating of the games and stuff. And, you know, we've seen technology creep its way into, not just in replay, but I'm talking about technologies like in tennis, you know, where they have the line, the laser line indicator, whether ball's in or out, those kinds of things.
They've used it even in soccer for goals.
Yeah.
That laser technology.
In one way, it's good because obviously it probably gets the call right without a doubt. But the players will, you know, they don't argue it. That's why, you know, replay when it comes up, if they looked at it and he's safe, then I guess he was safe. They don't, you know, they don't argue with the technology. They'll argue with the person, but they won't argue with the technology because that's supposed to.
Could you see John McEnroe playing tennis today? Who would he argue with? Can't argue with a robotic line judge or a laser beam.
He just hollered the other player like he always used to do. Well, it's an ongoing issue. Officiating is always going to be a story, I think, unless it goes totally technological, which I don't see happening anytime soon. But I expect to see more and more innovations to try to take the human factor out of it, which I think, to me, is not a great thing because it's part of the fabric of sports.
Right.
We're human, we make mistakes, and that's the way
all
it is.
All part of it. Otherwise, just have robot players and robot umps, and welcome to the Jetsons.
Yeah, right. The future. All right, Rook, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for listening to the Bill and Rookie podcast. You can hear more like this and other stuff by listening to the Bill and Rookie Experience. It starts at 6 a.m. every Monday through Friday right here on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400, The Fan.